sunshine. Just to repeat the announcements, Bible school, small group may be in the usual place, but your small group leader will be in touch. But Bible school is not here, not in St. George's, it's in the Shofar Lounge in Raines Park at 7 o'clock. And the service next Sunday is also not here, so please don't come. We're in Weybridge next Sunday. It's a 9:30 start, so we'll meet at 9 depending on train times or even how many cars might be going that way. And the speaker at both Bible school on Thursday and next Sunday is Chris Ludovic. He was involved in post-apartheid reconciliation in South Africa and on a governmental level, and he's involved in reconciliation across the world and various other activities as well. He has a lot to share. He's been here a few times previously. So he'll be with us next Sunday. But please don't come here. And if you know of someone who might turn up here, then please just let them know. But I'll be sending out details to everyone as well. Sally's returned from South Africa. Tosin's still there. Nadine is going on Friday. And we prayed for Nadine at intercession. But we're just going to pray again for her now. She's going to be doing, well, a few different things. But one of the things that she'll be doing is joining a mission team in Clutersville. And Nadine, come to the front if you would. And then everyone please stand and pray in the spirit, if you do. And then I'll just pray in English for Nadine. Shantoro kesh shantara toro. Father, thank you that your blessing brings wealth and adds no trouble. God, thank you that as you call Nadine to part ways and to join ways, that whichever one it is, whichever with whichever people, that she will know your spirit leading her, your word directing her, and your hand guiding her. God, thank you that she will see more clearly than she has seen before. And God, that what you've shown her in the past, you'll continue to reveal, that even you will bring to fruition promises that you've made in times gone by. Father, we thank you that your goodness is shown to us. And when we share your goodness with others, Father, thank you for each person with whom Nadine will share the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that it will be, God, a blessing to her as she shares to them. Father, thank you for multiple fruit and for generations of fruit. Father, thank you for good seed in the Dean that will prosper and bring in time and in season first flowers and then fruit, not just here but across the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go. You may. And the Dean wants some more prayer, so after the service you can give her some more. I'm going to take the chill for shine. Sally's going to preach and welcome her back, please.
Okay, it's good to be home. It was an amazing time away. I'm just like much love sent from Tosin, Jean, Adele, Robbie and Adele, Fred, Lucille, Andrew, Lisa, Elka, lots of people, some of you won't know, but people who actually prepared the ground here, and yeah, it was amazing to spend time with them, but the Lord has really impressed on me a word, and he told me this morning about, I don't know, 8:30 or something to share it, so I was preparing for Shine, and God said, no, you travel 6,000 miles, I got a word, and I know it's an absolute word in season, an absolute word in season, and Yeah, by God's grace, he didn't tell me last night, so that I pray in Jesus' name it will all be from him, because he's going to use every one of my weakness to share this word. And I know some of you know it in part, but I'm excited because I know God wants to do something today. And my slides are in haste, but I know God is going to really use it. If you could just show the next slide, Dong. It's not very clear, but you know, this was African winter by the seaside, and it was last week. And I just want you to know, before I say the word, like, God, we sing these things, use everything in my life for my glory, maybe a pleasing sacrifice. And just today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, honestly. Just know that God is a good God. He doesn't come and give you a stone if you're asking for bread. You know, we sing, love vast as the ocean. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So just keep this image. You know, the ocean was like 180 degrees around me, and it's God. He is a loving Father, and don't interpret him through your own fathers, however good they may be. Just know that his word for you is a good one, and he loves you, and he doesn't want to harm you. He wants to proclaim freedom for you, and liberty and victory. So, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And I'm just going to just pray. Lord, I just ask you to anoint every one of my lips, Lord, that everything that comes out of my mouth is from your heart to these dear people. Lord, we just pray that you would set the captives free today. We thank you that you came to proclaim freedom and liberty. And I just pray the scales to fall down off every heart, every guard, Lord, that we put in place, Lord. I just rebuke every spirit that's not of you. And I just say, come, Holy Spirit, like we've sang, use everything in our life for your glory. All of our days, we say we want to give to you, Lord. But I just want to rebuke any spirit of pride, anything now, Lord. We lay it down before you, because we don't want to harden our hearts to you. Because, you know, Pharaoh, we all have a choice. Pharaoh had a choice, but every time he chose death, he could have chosen life. And, you know, God, he says to us, choose life. He doesn't want us to choose death, but we can. And Fred said something recently in a sermon, you know, God, if we want to choose to go to hell, he'll let us, because he can't take us kicking and screaming to heaven. It's not in his nature. So we have a choice. And even the Philistines recognized that choice. They said, you know, when Pharaoh and the Egyptians heard his voice, let's not be like that. Let's not us harden our hearts to God. So how much more should we yield, you know, to Holy Spirit, to what God wants to do to us today? From Colossians 2 verses 13 and 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And Jesus came to pay the price for our sins so that we can have eternal life. The religious people hated him. They plotted, how can we kill him? And their best solution was a crucifixion, death on a cross, because they knew you couldn't survive that thing. It was very public, very final. Yet it was the very thing that Christ used, the thing that was supposed to destroy him, destroy God's plan for our salvation, but he used that very thing to make a public spectacle of them. And the cross now we can wear as a symbol to proclaim his victory of life over death. And yeah, I want to just share, some of you already know, it's not a secret, but about my story and my sin, the stuff that Jesus nailed to the cross for me in his grace and mercy and love, and my victory in Christ Jesus over Satan. And, you know, when I was little, my parents are not believers. They never took us to church. We didn't have the Bible. I couldn't, you know, he set his glory in the skies. But it's not really that I thought about him to reject him. I didn't think, are his claims true? Is he who he says he is? I was oblivious to him. And actually from a very young age, from about 9 or 10 or even a little bit sooner, What I did look at, what I did feed myself with, was actually pornography. And I lost my sexual innocence. I lost my innocence one day. We found me and my friends a magazine just in the woods, and that was the start of something. And not only did I watch it, I read it, I fantasized about it, whatever. And obviously, that leads to masturbation. So that was a big stronghold on my life. And then when I was at university, I got to know Jesus. I was introduced to him. I gave my life over to him, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he was fully God, he was fully man. And then he overcame death to give me life, to pay the price for my salvation, because he loved me and he didn't want to condemn me. And so I walked as a Christian for so long, and I was actually like a bit bound, a bit shackled. I was quite free. I was going on missions. People were coming to Christ and all the rest of it. But, I'd opened a door to this sexual demon. And so that thing didn't want to let me go. And actually, I didn't want to let it go, because there is pleasure in sin for a season. And so not only did I not close the door, I left it open. I embraced it. I set a fire and welcome that thing. And I lived in condemnation, because how can I call myself a Christian? The only person who knew was David, and I feel like I'm the only one. And just to proclaim, Christ, he wants us to get rid of our secrets and proclaim them and confess them, however awkward and awful it is. And as some of you know, a guy called Dr. Trevor Stammers, he used to be here and working in a GP practice, but he was actually for a long time involved in internet porn. But he said the statistics is that 75% of Christian guys are subject to pornography. Like, they embrace it, they look at it, whatever. And I give thanks to God that David is one of the 25%, because I don't know the statistics for women, but I was definitely in the grip of this thing, and I was totally condemned. And in the end, I didn't need to look at stuff. I didn't need to read stuff or watch stuff, because my head was filled with a million things, a million images. And it's like the Bible says, keep the marriage bed pure. And our marriage bed, however good it was not pure, because I brought with it into it a million things in my head. And in the end, it was a snare. I knew I was trapped and I was sick of it. And so, in my own strength and my own willpower, I would go, fine. I would say, okay, fine, I'm not going to succumb to this thing. And for 3 months, fine, 4 months, a year. But I was just waiting to fall, because that demon had a field day with me. And in the end, I just give thanks to God, because Liberty came along, the Spiritual Growth Foundation series. And I did Liberty, and I just give thanks to everyone who led worship that day, and thanks to Andres and Stella who were leading the course. And I just said, Lord, I want a lobotomy. I'm sick of it. And we're about to break for lunch, and Andrew said, okay, we're going to break to lunch after this song. And everyone had to keep going for more than an hour. Well, I got delivered from that thing, but I can say what Jesus said to me is, it is finished. I've nailed it all to the cross. It's over. And I know now, 6 years later, 5 years later, it's not that I'm on a good run with my own strength. I know I'm delivered from that thing. Freedom is amazing. Keep in mind that image of my feet by the seashore, the ocean, because before then, it didn't feel like liberty would be a good thing, because I had to confess my sins, bring it into the light, and it's painful. But coming through it, I would do it tomorrow. And I know I've done liberty twice now. I know I'll do it again, because he's making me more and more like him. And he just wants to keep purging stuff out of us. And so Jesus made a public spectacle of the very thing that Satan had used to destroy me with, the very thing. And then the following day at church, Andrew said, does anyone want to testify? And Holy Spirit was saying to me, go say what I did for you. And in the other ear, Satan is saying, don't go, because you've been set free now. The demon's gone, don't go. It's fine, you don't have to. It's finished. Didn't Jesus say it's finished on the cross? And I said, yeah. And then he said, what are the people going to think of you? You're the wife of the pastor. How can they receive anything from you if they know this has actually been your lot for, 15 years or more? But I actually yielded, and swallowed my pride, which I despise, and testified, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Jesus' blood was sufficient for that sin. He became my sin on that cross. But when I testified, now the devil tries to say, oh, Sally, what will they think? I say, you know what, they know. He knows my victory, and I am set free, and I'm free indeed. And a woman who spoke in the Awaken conference in South Africa, she is very famous in South Africa. Her husband is like a gospel singer. She's called Hetty Brits. And her title of her talk was Jesus, My Rapist and Me, and I'm not going to go into it now. When the DVDs are produced, I will get a copy and show everyone. But you know, just time and time again, the devil uses a thing where he uses his best plan to destroy us, because he's a prowling lion. He wants to absolutely take us out. He has done that very thing to destroy us. But if we yield to Christ Jesus, in whom we have the victory 2,000 years ago, that thing is not going to be a snare in our life. It's not going to destroy us. It's going to be the thing that we overcome what Satan wants to do with us. It's the thing that becomes our testimony, and the thing that when we sing, use it, everything that I've been through, everything that I've done, use it for your glory. It's the thing that will absolutely bring God glory and praise. And I just want to say, you know, Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to praise him because, you know, I said, give me a lobotomy, and you know what? He actually not only gave me a lobotomy, but he said, I'm giving you new dreams and a new future, and it's going to be a godly one. So my dreams are actually of my husband, and they're godly and edifying and exciting and wonderful. So God doesn't pluck us from hell to let us suffer. If we choose, we can go back to our vomit. We can stay in our mire, but he doesn't choose that for us. He doesn't pluck us from like the pit of hell, which we absolutely all deserve, to then say, okay, now you have to suffer in your sin and feel condemned all your life through. He's overcome the lot. So we receive it and be grateful. And I just wanted to say, you know, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's not a new thing he does. And just to share a few scriptures to encourage us that, you know, Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about us, and he is not fazed by us. That's why he reached out and touched the lepers. He doesn't mind. But you know the thing, like just to go to Joseph, for example, you know the brothers, his brothers plotted his destruction. They hated him. And out of that destruction and death, what they tried to seek to do, you know the story, like everything was on track in the kingdom of God. So when they sold him to the Egyptians, God was fine with that, because it was exactly what God wanted, because he needed to get his people into Egypt, because he knew of the famine coming, and he knew he needed to protect his people. And so, you know, Joseph, he had a choice. He could embrace that thing. He didn't sit in that pit. He kept looking at the promises of God and believing in that thing, even when he was then put in prison and all the rest. And you know, even know the story. And I've just like plucked just a few verses from the story. Just, you know, and he, obviously his brothers came and they confessed their sin. But Joseph said to them, you know, you intended it for harm, but God intended that thing that was supposed to destroy me for good, so that many lives could be saved, so I can provide for you and your children. He's a God of generations, and it's not just about us today. It's about our children's children, and also passing on that testimony so they can see what God did in our lives. We know he's a living God. And then with Moses, you know, as Pharaoh, his best plan to destroy the Israelites is to put every baby boy in the River Nile. And then, yeah, that was their destruction, their death. And then the very thing, obviously, set out to destroy them was the thing that God used to save them. Because where did Moses get put? He got put in the River Nile, the place where he was supposed to be condemned to death. And he not only was saved, he was taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in the palace. He was educated, given the best education, because the Israelites were in slavery. There was no time for this stuff for them. They were making bricks. And he was educated, and then obviously, you know, he killed a man and all the rest. But then he came back, and he came to set his people free. And it was God who was then able to just declare over him. Can you do the next slide, Dawn, please? He said, I'm the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And that was his purpose of getting Moses into the River Nile alive, because it wasn't just about Moses, it was about the generations to come. And not only the thing that was supposed to destroy the Israelites actually led to their freedom, to them getting out of their yoke of slavery. And and God wants to do the same for us. He wants to take us out of our bondage, our slavery. And I can testify, he wanted me to be set free from the spirit of Pharaoh and everything else. And just to share with from Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it's all these stories we know. We teach them to the children, but it's just to remind you the things that the devil, the prowling lion, wants to use to destroy us. His best plan, and his best plan for your life, is actually ridiculous. So remember that. Because, you know, they refused, these men of God refused to bow to the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. And so they came publicly before all his officials and all the magistrates and all the top people, so very publicly, he threw them into the fiery furnace, and God sent an angel to protect them. And in the end, when he saw like the fourth person, he ordered them to come out and of the fire, and then before all the royal advisors, before all the magistrates, before everyone that he had publicly done, before all the people and all the governors, the king proclaimed, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into rubble, for no other God can save in this way. I love that King Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God, the living God. He experienced him, and he makes a law in the land that actually, you know, there's no other God. He's the only one who can save. We're going to praise him, all the nations. And so the best plan against them actually became their glory. They ended up being promoted instead of demoted and destroyed. And it's the same for us. And then again, King Darius with Daniel. Daniel's heart, Darius loved him, but he was tricked by the royal advisors and administrators and all these official guys, because they were jealous of him and wanted to destroy Daniel. And they knew God's hand was on his life, and so they fooled the king into making a law. And so the king makes a law and issued the decree, and it was put in writing, and it can't be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, and it can't be repealed. But Daniel continued to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he had to be subject to the law. He had to be put into the lion's den. And even though the king, the word says, he was deeply distressed, and he was determined to rescue Daniel, and he made every effort to save him, but he couldn't change the law. It's not possible. The law is a law. And you know, God is above the law. He's a supernatural God. He's not unnatural. And the law cannot contain him. You know, Jesus said, I came to do away with it. Not to do away with it, but to fulfill the law. And then, in the morning, the king said, Daniel, has your God been able to rescue you from the lions? And then, obviously, Daniel is pulled out very publicly. And the king says, then the men who falsely accused Daniel were thrown and devoured by the lions. And King Darius wrote to all the peoples, the nations, and men of every language throughout the land, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and revere the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions, and Daniel prospered. And I love God. You know, he prospered. He was supposed to be absolutely destroyed. You know, the same lions, when the people who had condemned him, they and their families went in there, they were consumed in an instant. But God sent his angel to protect him. And the consequence was that publicly it was proclaimed throughout the kingdom that he is the living God and he endures forever. And he rescues and he saves and he doesn't change. He rescues today and he saves. He doesn't want us in the mire. He doesn't want us returning to our vomit. He wants us freed from that. He's preparing a banquet for us. He's a good God. And then from the New Testament, Paul and Silas. And this was the story they preached for my baptism when I was baptized in water. So it's a very special sermon for me. But we know the story that Paul and Silas, they came and in the name of Jesus Christ, they rebuked the slave girl who was being ministered by a false demonic spirit. And the owners of the spirit girl, the girl with the demonic spirit, they were so angry because their salary, the thing that they used to earn money now, had been destroyed because she was delivered. And so they took Paul and Silas, and they were publicly flogged, and they were put in prison. You know, the thing that was to destroy their reputation, to make them a ridicule, they were put in prison. And you know, what did they do? They actually praised the living God. And then, you know, heaven came forth, and the earthquake came, and the jailer, this thing was also to destroy him. Because he was about to commit suicide, because he knew all the prisoners are going to go, run off, and then it's on his head. So he'd rather kill himself than be killed by the authorities. And what happened, it was, thanks, Dong, it was a thing that saved him, and not just him, because he said to Paul and Silas, says, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your whole household. And you know, he took them home, they ministered the word of the Lord, and they were all born again of the spirits in Christ Jesus. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So the thing set out to destroy them, to make his wife husbandless, his children fatherless, to make them probably slaves because they had no income then. That thing actually became the salvation. The earthquake putting Paul and Silas into prison. And you know, God is the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. And then in the morning, after all this, the public authorities said, okay, fine, we let them go now, we let Paul and Silas go. And they said, no, you know what, you put us in here publicly, you flogged us publicly, and we're not going to go publicly, we're not going to go secretly, we're going to go publicly. And for me, and that is what happened for them. And for me, you see, God, he says, there was someone, a very good friend, and she was saved and everything. And she used to self-harm. And she had eating disorder when she was younger as well. And one day, I just said, oh, what is that on your arm? It's on her upper arm. So it was sort of a usual scar. And she said, I don't want to talk about it because it's when I used to harm myself. And I realized, you know, these scars are not our scars of shame. And it's like Satan wanted me to walk in the scars of shame. You know, he said, don't tell them. It's everyone to say about you. Jesus loves to set us totally free. And it's like the scars of shame, I realize, are not our scars of shame. They're our battle scars, our victory scars. And they're the things that we say, yes, you know what? I used to look at so much porn. And I used to masturbate so much. And it's nothing that's glorifying to me. You know, it's Jesus held him on the cross. That sin, he became that sin for me on the cross. But in his love for me, he said, I didn't come to condemn you, I came to set you free. And so I declare now, I was bound in that totally. You can ask David. But today, Jesus Christ has set me free. And it's my battle scars because I overcome by the word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb, which is sufficient for every sin. And for her, I said, these are your battle scars. Yeah, I did have an eating disorder. I did harm myself continually. These are my scars, but they're not scars of shame. They're my battle scars, my victory in Christ Jesus. And I just want to say, you know, today, if you're hearing Holy Spirit's voice, yield to him. You know, it's been a weekend for some of you for liberty and being set free. and knowing his freedom and his love for you, and we can choose to resist him. You know, he gives us a choice. He says, submit them to him. Flee the devil, resist the devil, flee from him. You know, you can be totally free. And we can hold on to the stuff. And we can say, no, I feel my pride is rising up. I know about pride. I hate pride. I had to rebuke it so many times in myself. And even yesterday, Cheryl came and I said, the house is crazy. And I was like, oh, Lord. But you know that pride is of the devil. You know, Jesus says he wants us to humble ourselves before him. And you know, we don't want to be resisted by the living God. We want to be embraced by him into his arms. And I just want to say to you today, for some of you, you know, it's actually about being partially set free and being wanting to be shackled a bit. And I just say today, let it be a day of new mercies, new morning. Don't live in this for yet another day. And, you know, if you see the women I was with in South Africa, some of the women, their lot is a tough lot. And to sin and the dean will see firsthand what they have to go through. And, you know, when they want to have salvation, which came last week, and they want to be set free and delivered, it's a very tough life. They go back to, you know, we were just in one of the townships. There's just a little boy walking past us with a gun. I mean, he's like 7 years old or 8 years old. And, you know, the guys on the corner just, you know, life and death is very palpable there. And so when people are like, women and are led to the Lord, and but yet she has to go back now to... she's a single woman. Her partner left her. Her brother is a dealer of lots of stuff, like crack cocaine and lots of other things. She herself is a user. You know, the baby is... she's got a little baby. They don't have food. They live in a tiny place this big. You know, she is in the thick of it. It's so hard to get free, but she got freedom. So we have it totally different. It's very easy for us to choose life and to embrace life. And I just want to encourage for you today, just at the end of this message, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he actually came to set every one of us free. He is the same God, the same God for Joseph, for Moses, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for Daniel, for Paul and Silas, for the jailer, for me, for Hetty Britz. And we can choose whether we're going to be destroyed, or we can choose life on the cross and be forgiven. We didn't deserve it. We deserve the absolute pit of hell. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I love you. You're my child. And yeah, my story isn't in the Bible, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and yours can be too if you come and embrace him. And don't go another day without knowing him. And for others, I think it's like me. I was half free, and half free is not free. Actually, you're condemned and you're not walking in that freedom and the anointing that you're supposed to be. And so you will know, Holy Spirit, I know. He pressed on me this message this morning. I didn't expect to be sharing today, but I know it's absolutely from his heart. And I know there will be things, different things for each of you and different things that shackle you. And I praise God for the testimonies we already heard this morning from Dong and Jemima. But I know he wants to set the captives free fully so that you can actually have the superabundant life that I wasn't walking in. I was walking in with Christ, but it wasn't superabundant. And the superabundant life is a life amongst the wolves. But Jesus said, I am the gate. I'm the good shepherd. You come in and out through me, and I look after you, even through the valley of the shadow of death. He's got us. He's got our backs. He's redeemed us. He doesn't save us to then let us be ensnared by pornography, for example. So for those of you who you know Holy Spirit is speaking, just come to the front and just receive him and get your freedom in Christ Jesus and get set free. For me, I wouldn't go back. You know, it was actually took the birth of our children for me to say, I don't want this for our children. So don't wait like I did to get your freedom. Don't wait till your husband comes along, your children come along. You know, today, if I knew I would go through it in an instant. And then for others of you, it's about showing off your battle scars. And it's about testifying and totally overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And it's about walking in the victory that he's got for you. Don't be condemned. And just to show people, yeah, this is what I was. If we confess our sins, he is absolutely faithful and he will forgive us. He's just. He loves us. His love is vast as the ocean. That ocean is huge. And it's noisy and powerful, but it was, yeah, the power of life overcame the grave. So I just want to encourage you, if God is speaking to any of you on any of those things, just come to the front and receive. So if you want to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just come. And if you want to be set free, also come. And if you want to testify about your battle scars, then also come. And I just want to pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are gracious and loving and mercy with us every single day of our lives. Lord God, we know we fall short. None of us are righteous before you in our own strength, in our own works. It's only by your blood, Jesus. And yeah, we just thank you that we've all fallen short of your glory, Lord. Every single one of us, but yet, Jesus, you came to pay the price. I thank you that we are not perishing, we are not to be destroyed, even though we know the devil would love to do that for us. But I thank you, Jesus, that you are greater than he who's in the world, Lord, and you're in us, Father. I just thank you and praise you, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, you just come and you'd convict and you'd minister, you'd be these people's helpers and comforters. And you would just give wisdom to each person here, Lord. We just speak shalom, peace over their troubled minds and hearts and spirits. And we just say, come to him. He says, my burden is easier, my yoke is light, or my yoke is easy and light, whichever it is. He doesn't want us to resist him and to struggle against him. He wants us to come to him. He wants to take our burdens upon him. He placed his burdens, our burdens on the cross, our sin and our shame. You know, just to remind you, when he was on the cross, he took our shame on him. There wasn't that little loincloth. He hung naked, absolutely naked, on that cross before the people. Because he took on our shame, he took on our sin, so that he could do away with death and disease and destruction forever and ever. And if you want to respond to him today, he loves you. He sings it over you. He says, I love you. We sing these words so easily. His love is like a hurricane. You know how powerful that thing is. He's jealous for you. And he actually doesn't want you to stumble. He wants you to rise up on wings like eagles today. And if that's you, if you're hearing his voice, don't harden your heart to him. Just resist the devil and come forward and claim your victory in Christ Jesus. Claim your freedom, claim your salvation, whatever it is you need. Just come. For some of you, there's a battle. The battle is the Lord's, but you have to give it to him. Because I sat there in the chair with Holy Spirit in one ear and the devil in the other, and not the choice. And I wouldn't ever go back because I chose life. And yeah, death is no good. We don't need a sound mind to convince us of that. Is common sense. So if you hear his voice, just come and receive him. Thank you. this penultimate song, use everything for your glory, Lord of my life. Thank you.